The following podcast contains explicit language.
You retweeted an unflattering picture of her next to a picture of your wife.
I didn't start it.
Oh, but that's,
I didn't start it.
With all due respect, that's the argument of a five-year-old.
Anytime he gets upset, anytime he gets threatened, anytime he gets scared, he begins yelling, he begins often cursing.
Hello and welcome to TrumpCast, the show about the man who says Saturday Night Live is boring and unfunny, Donald Trump. I'm Jacob Weisberg. So we're finally getting to see what Trump Unshackled is like. Trump Unshackled says the election is rigged and is going to be stolen from him, not just because of the media, but because of what he calls large-scale voter fraud on Election Day and before. Trump Unshackled says that the eight or more women accusing him of sexual assault are liars and fabricators. Trump Unshackled says Hillary Clinton needs to take a drug test before the next debate because she seemed pumped up at the last one. Trump Unshackled says that animals representing Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party firebombed his office in North Carolina. If you haven't noticed, Trump Unshackled seems to have reclaimed his Twitter account. And by the way, Trump Unshackled is Trump totally unhinged. Now, when we say someone's unhinged, we usually mean that in a colloquial sense, like they're being really extreme. But as we've discussed, there's plenty of reason to believe that Trump is unhinged in a more clinical sense. I recommend a recent piece in Slate by Sally Satel, a psychiatrist and writer who also happens to be a political conservative. She wrote about why, contrary to the so-called Goldwater rule that shrinks shouldn't talk about candidates' psychiatric conditions without examining them, it's perfectly okay to speculate about Trump suffering from, say, narcissistic personality disorder. Okay, not say narcissistic personality disorder, narcissistic personality disorder. So let's speculate about it. And what better way to speculate about it than to try to get inside Trump's head? One of my favorite musicians, the singer-songwriter Amy Mann, did that. She wrote a new song about Trump's mental health from Trump's perspective. And it's really great. I'll be right back to talk to her about it and to play the song for you right after we do the tweets.
There's never been anyone more abusive to women in politics than Bill Clinton. My words were unfortunate. The Clintons' actions were far worse. 100% fabricated and made-up charges pushed strongly by the media and the Clinton campaign may poison the minds of the American voter. Fix. Nothing ever happened with any of these women. Totally made up nonsense to steal the election. Nobody has more respect for women than me. Hillary Clinton should have been prosecuted and should be in jail. Instead, she is running for president in what looks like a rigged election. The Democrats have a corrupt political machine pushing crooked Hillary Clinton. We have Paul Ryan always fighting the Republican nominee. Watched Saturday Night Live, hit job on me. Time to retire the boring and unfunny show. Alec Baldwin's portrayal stinks. Media rigged election.
Joining me today from a studio in Los Angeles is the singer-songwriter Amy Mann. She is one of my favorites. I've been a fan of her since the 1980s, and now she has written a song, believe it or not, about Donald Trump. Amy, thanks for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what possessed you to write a song about Donald Trump?
Well, this is all part of Dave Eggers' project. I think the conceit of the project was that because he kept hearing at Trump rallies these, kind of Rolling Stones and classic rock songs that clearly he didn't really have permission to use at the rallies, that people should write songs for him to use at his rallies. But then that turned into anti-Trump or pro-Hillary anti-Trump songs.
So Dave Eggers organized this project, and there are a bunch of musicians writing and performing songs about Trump.
Yeah, it's 30 musicians in the last 30 days before the election.
So highly topical music like this can sometimes go wrong. I have to say, I love this song. It's called "Can't You Tell?" And it's a beautiful song. And I was
thanks.
The one thing that just surprised me about it was, first, your decision to sort of write it from inside Trump's head, to do it in his voice, and the risk you take kind of humanizing him a bit, right?
Yeah. My thoughts when given an assignment like this are just to write a song that I feel like writing. And it's not my style to write in the third person in general. And it's not really my style to be like this dispassionate observer. I'm interested in seeing if there's a way to kind of get into someone's head and, you know, see what their experience might be like. But the thrust of the song is that he is in over his head, and this is, you know, like, honestly, I really do believe this. Like, I don't think that being president and sitting in the Oval Office and having meetings all day about a panoply of state issues and domestic issues and children's health care and education, like, I really don't think that that's his gig. I think he's running for king. I don't think he like understands really or cares about really what the job is. I think he's like, I'll hire guys for that, you know. He thinks it's like, I'll live in the giant mansion, but I'm not like, I don't need to know how to do the plumbing. You hire people.
Right.
But I think at this point, I feel like he's got a sense that he's in over his head, and he's like a rat in a corner, and he's really fighting and scrapping and biting and freaking out.
And so the chorus of your song is sort of, it goes with that premise. Isn't anybody going to stop me? I don't want this job. I don't want this job. My God, can't you tell I'm unwell? That packs a lot in there, boy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, I don't know what to tell you. That's just kind of where it ended up.
So let's take a break at this point and just listen to the song.
Stripping all my gears. Well, guess what, Mr. President? I'll be seeing you in 4 years. Though on the campaign trail, the papers make me like a clown. Still, all I see are crowds who want to fit me for a crown. I point out all my enemies, just so my fans bring them down. Can't you tell I'm on the way? fingers keep the spell. You handed me grenades, is just compelling me to pull the pin.
Amy, so you start with this scene, and I have to tell you, I was present at that scene at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2011, which is, I think, what you're describing. I was about 10 feet from Donald Trump watching him react to being mocked by the president in front of the assembled press corps and the nation by extension. And it was sort of amazing. I mean, there was smoke coming out of his ears. And I remember looking at him and thinking, if this guy could just laugh, if he could just pretend to laugh, he doesn't have to be the butt of the joke to the entire world. But he couldn't. I mean, you were sort of watching him kind of collapse inside, being unable to take this level of mockery.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough because you could see, you could see what was happening. And I think the narcissism is kind of like you believe that how things look are the entirety of your persona and yourself and all your opinions and your achievements. Like that's you, that you don't have there's no inner sense of self that's kind of separate from that.
Yeah.
So that if any part of the balloon is poked, the entire thing deflates. And also see that like, that was a rough roast, but most of my friends are comics, so I'm kind of used to that talk. And I also know that, that wasn't even devoid of affection. As much as President Obama had been attacked by Donald Trump, it wasn't vindictive. It was his way of being able to tell the truth about how he felt, because, that birther stuff was really pretty shitty. And I think hurtful, like personally hurtful. But Obama, I don't even think it was like, and I'll get you, And it's too bad Trump couldn't see that there was affection in that. But I think that's when it was like, I'll show right. you all.
It's interesting. I mean, you referred to narcissism or narcissistic personality disorder. We've talked about that on the show a lot. I mean, one thing psychiatrists will tell you about people who suffer from NPD, as I guess it's termed, they don't know they're sick and they kind of can't be treated, because to be treated, you have to accept that you have a problem. And part of narcissism is just this utter inability to see yourself the way other people might see you.
I think that's a big problem, and it's especially a problem if you are really wealthy and powerful, because you're able to put away all the signs that come to normal people that maybe your behavior isn't great. Like he's not having, there's not going to be a colleague that says, "Hey, Donald, you've really gone too far." Like that's not cool. Like that person will just be disappeared.
But, at the same time, you get it into two words, I'm unwell. There is a level at which someone like that must know there's something wrong. And also in Trump's case, headed for a cliff, because if your whole life is about winning, to lose the presidency, which it sure looks like he's headed to do, must just be a crushing blow on an unimaginable scale.
I can't imagine it. This is, if your values and your value scale is that winning is everything and it's the only thing, then first of all, you're going to be disappointed and sad and crushed a lot, because most people just can't win at that, a consistent level. And secondly, he's engineered this train that now he's riding to this flaming end. I can't imagine what's gonna happen. he's shot the moon and it's going to be over. And so, like, what, I don't know. How do you recover from that? Like, that's all you've got in your, you know, by your own value system. That's all that there was. There's no love. There's no higher power. There's no, well, at least I did some good. There's no, you know, other people can get consolation, but he's got nothing.
I'm really struck by your ability to have sympathy for him, though. I mean, I think it's admirable. I mean, one, it enables you to think a song like this. We use that kind of imaginative sympathy. But it's just, you know, I'm surrounded by people. And I have to say, speaking for myself, I'm so angry at what Trump is doing to the country and how destructive the campaign is. It's very hard for me to get my head in a place where I can think maybe he can't help himself. Maybe he was born this way. You know, there is some level at which he's not in control of his behavior. And that's the point at which you have to have some sympathy for people.
I don't think he is anymore. I think that it's his fault because he walked himself into it to a place where he no longer had control over his behavior because his value system also was the value system of making women bend to your will, doing whatever you want, that they're not really people, so their cries of no don't count or matter. But, you know, the thing about the pussy grab thing that struck me was, like, it's not only, you know, obviously, like, he's bragging about sexual assault, but he's also saying, I can't, it's like a magnet. Like, I can't, he is describing really compulsive behavior. I kind of think that that's true. I don't think he can help himself. And there is a thing inside him that's just, I'm so miserable. I can't feel miserable anymore. The only thing that I believe will make me feel better is to jump on this, you know, whatever woman's next to me. And I think that there is a compulsive element. But that's also like, yeah, we don't really want that in a president. Like the guy, I mean, not that we didn't know that his behavior was really compulsive. And like if he had a feeling, he immediately acted on it, whether it was like anger or, you know, sexual desire, whatever it was. Like, we already knew that. I mean, I'm also angry, but I think it's at this point, it's like being angry at the rabid dog. You just have to solve the problem and get the dog in a cage and don't let it bite any more people. It can't, like, why spend time on, like, can it control itself? Should it? Like, but you know what? It can't. It's not controlling itself. We have to stop him. He will not stop himself.
And you've sort of gotten to the next stage of the discussion because, you know, he hasn't been stopped yet, but he's certainly pointed towards being stopped. And then there is a question about Trump. Sick person or bad person, or what is the balance between those things? It's very interesting. I think the deeper you go, the more you gravitate towards sick person. I guess you can be a sick person and
it's
a bad person.
It's kind of the same. You know, they're all choices. I mean, he's the product of 50 gazillion bad choices that he's made. You know, when he had would the tape came out? I mean, if he had come out and he said and said, you know what? When I listen to myself talk about women, I can't believe I used to be like that. What a terrible way to treat women or talk about them as if I had the right. And then we would go, all right, man, I think maybe you're bullshitting, but like, well done. But he can't even conceive of what that a guy like that who takes responsibility for his own past behavior, like, he can't even conceive of what that is. That's how little he's willing to ever admit that he's done anything wrong. And that, it's like, you know, just one choice after another. Every time he, you know, steps up to the podium at a rally, there's another choice. There's another option. Oh, nope, I'm not going to do the wrong thing. Like, every time.
Yeah. But you really get it in the song, the way in which that his sickness, his unwellness is chosen. As you say, it's the product of a million choices. And you see it that way rather than as a genetic inheritance that he has no control over.
No, actually, I don't think.
Something he's developed.
Yeah. I don't think he's like bipolar or something. I think he's, you know, narcissistic. And I think it's, you know, like they talk about like recovery from alcoholism is one step at a time. You know, I think getting to this point is also one step at a time. You know, you start out being, you know, maybe a little bratty. And if nobody ever corrects your behavior, then that's just, you're like, well, maybe this is the way to be. You know, it's being rewarded and it's not being, he seem like an overgrown child who, you know, who can't stop himself from eating, you know, 10 popsicles in a row. Like, he really, he just seems like that guy, like, who nobody ever said no to.
Amy Mann, I love your song. Thank you
for
sharing it with us, and thank you for joining us on TrumpCast.
Thank you so much.
That's it for today's show. Leave us a rating and review on iTunes. If you've already left us one, leave us another one. You only have 22 days left until the election. And come to one of our live shows. We're in Los Angeles, actually in Anaheim, on October 28th at the Now Hear This podcast festival. And on election night, we'll be at the Bell House in Brooklyn with Mike Pesca and the team from The Gist. We've got some fantastic talent lined up for that show, including Zoe Chace, Virginia Heffernan, David Plotz, Michelle Goldberg, and the musical improv group North Coast. Everybody here loves Amy Mann. Trumpcast was produced by Jason DeLeon. He's the forgotten arm of this show. Steve Lickteig is the executive producer of Slate Podcasts. He likes high-quality shows, but with this one, he's like, whatever. Andy Bowers is chief content officer of the Panoply Network, which is a little like being lost in space. John DiDomenico is our voice of Donald Trump. His slogan is, I'm with stupid. I'm Jacob Weisberg. Thanks for listening to Trumpcast.
Alec Baldwin doesn't sound like me, doesn't look like me. I don't like what he's doing. Where is Daryl Hammond? Daryl was very, very nice to me. It was always very nice. We did an Oreo commercial together. We did quite a few things. I don't like Alec. He's a liberal. And you know what? He has no respect for women either. Listen to the tape of him hollering at his daughter. Not a good guy, I have to tell you.